you actually went, I'm a scientific guy. I'm going to actually find out, and I'm going to check, and I'm going to look back. Is the Yale study, did it even actually happen? Was it properly done?
And that's what, I mean, so I'm quite skeptical. A lot of my previous stuff is looking at, say, claims of the paranormal or psychology of luck, and I'm pretty skeptical about some of those ideas. And it's just applying that skepticism to this topic where you think there are millions of people who are in need of some kind of guidance in some aspect of their life. They will go to the store and they'll see a whole lot of books and they don't know which one to buy because there's no kind of evidence-based self-help. And we don't have that in, say, a drugstore, for example. You know, you don't go in and say, I've got this terrible thing. People go, well, I don't know whether any of this stuff works, but, you know, try that. What's the worst that could happen? You know, that we don't tend to have that attitude. Yet people have got exactly the attitude towards psychological issues. And I thought that was a pity. And so part of what the book does is this kind of myth busting. It says, you know, because people can put out anything and say anything in the self-help industry, they do precisely that. So with the Yale study, which is this study that a group of researchers go in to a school, they ask the kids, do you know what you want to do when they grow up? And only about 3% of the class do. They then track them. It turns out that 3% is earning more than the rest of the group put together in their 20s. You will see that study cited in hundreds of self-help books. I've been to motivational seminars where the person is standing on stage telling people the power of focusing because of that story.
One slight little flaw though.
A tiny flaw, and it is only a small one, but in scientific terms, an important one. That study does not exist. It's never been conducted. Someone's made it up. We can't even find the study that it might have been based on. So what I find stunning is that people will be, you know, encouraging their kids to focus early on in certain careers on the basis of a study that does not exist. And that's terrible. And so the book is about exposing some of those myths. The visualization idea, you know, visualize your perfect self, it's good for your motivation. No, it's not. People have done the work. It's terrible to visualize yourself being thinner or successful or getting the A grade, because all of those things require a lot of work, and as soon as you start to put that work in, you realize this dream is not going to become a reality overnight, you become discouraged. Yet you walk into a bookstore, lots of books will be telling you to do that.
If I had a little windfall of money and I could spend it on, say, a new car or a vacation is over really fast, but that car is going to last for years. So you would think that the joy of the car would be the better, but no.
No. What? Stop yourself spending the money on the car.
But I had such a miserable time. It took me ages to get there. There's security, there's all that stuff. How could that possibly, the tedium of sitting in an airplane?
Well, the problem with buying goods, most goods, is that you get used to them very quickly. You will get used to that car, you'll want a better car. As soon as you've got the car, it's going to start to age, particularly if the goods are fashionable, like it's the latest, you know, whatever gadget or pair of shoes. They're not going to be quite so fashionable next year. So you're on this treadmill of always wanting the next new thing. The good thing about your vacation, and there are several good things about it. One is you're absolutely right. It might be hell in terms of security and flights and whatever. But over time, you'll edit that stuff out. This is the way your memory works. You won't remember the security cues, you will remember the good times you had on the vacation, so over time it gets better. Second, and this is the major, major benefit, what's the big correlate of happiness? What's the one thing that all of these studies show? Time with others. The more time you spend with your loved ones, with friends, with colleagues, the happier you will be. That's your major correlate of happiness. And the good thing about going on that holiday is that you've got something to tell your friends about when you get back. And if it only takes one funny story, you'll be telling that for the next 5 years. And so it promotes interaction a way that a bigger car doesn't. If anything, it promotes people just getting a bit fed up because you've got a bigger car than they have. So it's that notion of buying experiences over goods.
I'm gonna give you 59 seconds.
Okay.
To fix me. Everything in 59 seconds, go.
I would say that one of the things you need to, if you want to achieve any goal at all, the big thing to do, break it down into smaller steps. Know where you're going to be at the end of week one, week two, and so on. Tell your friends and family that's what you're going to achieve, because the fear of failure is so much higher if you do that, and they'll be supportive. plot your progress some way, whether it's on the fridge door, whether it's on a spreadsheet. Reward yourself for each of those small steps. Visualize yourself taking the steps, not the end point. All of those things, whatever you want to achieve, whether it's in, you know, relationships, whether it's in career or whatever, those are the key strategies that work. Trying to push things out of your mind, if it's a negative thing, like stopping smoking, for example. Trying to remove temptation from your environment. Thinking about the bad things that will happen if you don't achieve your goal. None of that stuff works. So I think if people take away anything from the book, most people will take away those sorts of notions, because that is about achievement. These are general principles that work pretty much in every area of life where there's scientific support for them. So that's what I would push people towards in around about 59 seconds.
The book is 59 Seconds, Think a Little, Change a Lot. And I've been speaking with the author, Richard Wiseman. 59 Seconds is published by Random House of Canada.